Welcome to Beer, Beats, and Business, the business podcast for smart people who appreciate the insights found in a good conversation. That guy sitting at the end of the proverbial bar is your host, David J.P. Fisher, but everyone around here just calls him D. Fish. He's an author, speaker, and business coach. Basically, he's a professional talker. So grab a glass of your favorite beverage, grab a seat, and join us for today's episode. Let's see where the conversation takes us.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another interesting conversation with an interesting person. Today, the part of interesting conversation is being played by my friend, Dietrich Horsey. Dietrich is the owner and head coach over at D21 Fitness Studio. He's been doing that for over 6 years, and his goal is to help clients live more active lives and help them feel more energized all day, the whole day. And he's a repeat guest coming back all the way, I think, from season number 2. Dietrich, how are you?
Dave, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm living the dream, man. I'm living the dream. I don't know what kind of dream it is today, but it's a dream. And I, of course, also want to say thank you to our sponsor for today's show. We're working with Pilot Program Brewing, which is down in Logan Square right here in Chicago. They're actually a very cool incubator for new breweries. And today I am drinking one of their house beers, I guess you could call it, their house label. And it's pretty awesome. It's the Brewer's Kitchen Brewery, but this is Mañana de Mallorca, which is an India pale ale with Spanish tea. So if that doesn't make me feel fancy, I don't know what it is, but thank you, everybody over there at Pilot and Brewer's Kitchen. And Dietrich, here's my question for you. It's a pretty simple question, but I think one that's so important. We are recording this during the shelter in place orders, the self-isolation, the social distancing of the coronavirus pandemic, how can people take care of their bodies and thus their souls during these times when we're in such a weird physical space? And, you know, there's just, we can't just go to the gym, you know, in the morning like we used to. Like, what are the things that you see people doing well to take care of themselves?
One thing I've noticed, Dave, is an increase of people jogging or walking. I've noticed that a lot, just in front of the gym where I am on Main Street. Yeah, I see a lot more people running, which is great. I mean, anytime you get out in nature, you know, and breathe that fresh air, whatever's out there, you know, the oxygen, all that kind of stuff, I think it's a great idea to do that. Even a walk, if you can't run, walk. If you can't run, ride a bike, something, anything to get outdoors.
Ah, yeah, I think you're right. It also is probably good for the soul a little bit, just to not be stuck watching a screen,
for
right?
For sure.
When you say, like, even if you can't run, walk, so basically, like, kind of any movement outside is going to be good, right?
Yeah. So I just read this article just the other day, and they're talking about, you know, people have, like, I guess knee issues. And the one thing, you know, that was in that we kind of teach too, and just kind of solidifies, you know, what we've been doing is correct, is movement. The main thing the doc said is that just move is better than doing nothing at all. Provides blood flow to the areas, keeps it warm, keeps it more elastic. Regardless if you have, you know, knee issues or not, just move, because not moving is worse than moving.
Right. Right. Well, and that's kind of interesting, because I think a lot of times, I mean, I've had this experience, and even as a fitness instructor, I've had conversations with students in my class where sometimes we have an injury, and it's not necessarily a career-ending injury, for example, but just something that makes things a little tougher. And I think sometimes the instinct is to not do anything, where kind of what I've learned, and I'd love your opinion on this, is not to push it into pain, but not to just stop everything cold turkey. Because then every other part of your body loses out too, right? But really, it's good to keep moving and just be mindful of it.
Be mindful of the movement. Yeah, you know, that, I guess that's where, you know, in terms of movement, that's where I guess, you know, professional, you know, coaching stuff like that comes in too. Because everybody can't do the same thing based on, you know, where you're starting from, where you are, what kind of injuries you had. I'm 54, so, you know, I've had a few injuries, stuff like that. So my body's not the same. Mm-hmm. And as you age, it's like a car, right? Don't run quite the same. So you got to treat yourself, right?
Really? Really? Yeah. I haven't noticed that at all.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take care of that vehicle. It's got some years on it. So that's where the professional coaching comes in, because it's all, mental too. I mean, I think, even when it comes to mental health, I think that the best thing you can do is get out and either conversate with somebody or walk with someone, something like that, because if you get that endorphin rush, that actually is a chemical release in the brain too, that actually will help you kind of get past that, wherever point you are in that sticky point. So physical activity is mental health as well. I'll put it like that.
I was actually having a conversation recently with a friend of mine and a colleague who's also a professional speaker, and like me, is doing a lot of stuff virtually for his audiences. And he was sharing that his endurance is just really at a low point right now, where he's doing some events where he'll have like an hour, even a 2-hour event, through like Zoom, for example. And this is a guy who you could do a half a day on a stage and be just ready to go. And he's sharing that, hey, I'm doing this virtual event for, an hour or 2 hours, and I'm just exhausted. And what it made me think too is not just the fact that we aren't moving as much, but I mean, let's face it, 2020 has just kind of been beating up our psyches.
Yeah, for
sure. And I think part of it, and this, tell me if I'm completely off base here, but I think part of it is that you mentioned about endorphins and stuff like that. I was realizing, I think that a lot of us have the stress hormones, mm-hmm. like they're being activated a lot because we're reading headlines or we're seeing some social media. And I mean, no matter what your opinions are about things, it's really going to the heart of our emotions. And so we're kind of always in this fight or flight reflex. And that just takes a toll on your body, right? Am I right in that, or am I just making stuff up?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. When we first started doing the training virtually, because we do virtual training, we do in-house training too, but we only have like one coach to one client in there at a time.
Right.
But when I first started doing virtual training and I was using my phone, I mean, I was beat. By the time I got home, I said, why am I so damn tired? I couldn't figure it out. Like, what? I mean, I'm not really doing that much, but it's just being so hyper-focused and then sitting in almost one spot, and you got to do more activity because you got to, it's not like being in person. You got to look for things you can't really see as well, all this kind of stuff. So just that little extra stuff was really just, I was tired. I was like, Kevin Weiss, I'm like, why am I so tired? She's like, well, it's all the stress hormones. I'm like, wow, that is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you point out something really valuable as well when you were saying, go for a walk, but go for a walk with someone. Because I also think, because we are doing so many of these virtual conversations and Zoom calls and video calls, and in some ways that's great, because if we didn't have that, we wouldn't be able to be connected at all. But to what you just said, there's like so much focus you have to have, and like you have to like supply all the energy for your side all the time, and there's no downtime in the conversation.
Yeah.
So I've even thought about, like, we've got a young son, and so my wife and I will take him out for walks, even at the end of the day, if we walk around for like 20 minutes. Of course, now he can walk and he wants to walk, and he never wants to walk in the same dang direction we're going, but that's a whole nother story. But it's interesting because I realize that when we go for those walks, we're not always talking to each other, right? We're just kind of being there, and it's very restorative.
Right. Another thing too, David, that's really that I've kind of noticed is that it's still not quite the same. Even though you have this kind of dialogue with the person that's in front of the screen, it's better than nothing, but it's still not quite the same as having the person in front of you. Right.
Yep.
Or, do the little fist pound or elbow or what case may be. It's just that interaction with a human being that, is very it's important. It just is.
I think you're right. And what's interesting is, we're 6 months into this. We don't really know how long it'll last. And of course, we're recording this in the fall right before the winter comes up. So it's, even if it's cold, go outside, go for a walk with somebody, have some socially distanced interaction in some way, shape or form, right? Even if you have to put your coat on.
Yeah, get a dog or something. They make you go outside and walk.
I actually had a friend once, and this is well before the pandemic, but who got a dog and lost 20 pounds, you know, because he had to go for a walk every day.
Absolutely.
And before we started recording, I was even talking about how you take care of yourself in a pandemic is actually kind of it's not a topical topic, meaning it is kind of evergreen because the same stuff that's important now is going to be important even during quote unquote normal times. You know, if somebody came to you right now and was like, hey, I've gained the COVID 20 or whatever they're calling it. I've gained that extra weight because of stress eating and just not moving and all of these things. You know, what are some ways, besides, of course, going and hiring you and getting a good virtual coach, what are ways that you'd suggest to somebody to just start where they are, right? They're not going to be able to go to a gym or anything like that, but they're at home. Besides going out and walking, are there any other ways that they can start to kind of take better care of themselves even during these stressful times?
Yeah, so I think, and one thing I also noticed, I pay attention to all these kind of things, especially when I was in that whole pandemic when it first started. I was watching everybody in the store, and everybody was kind of stocking up on, like, you know, potato chips and all this kind of, you know, engineered.
Well, because it's shelf stable, right? It lasts.
Yeah. And it's comforting, right? It's like, you know, food is like this comforting thing too. So I think people are getting, and they're, so we're going to be in for a while, so let's give me some comfort food. But I think that is definitely one of the bigger issues, is just that mind, not really thinking about what you're eating, just kind of just putting your hand in your face and just keep on feeding yourself. Mm. I think that's what happens because of either boredom or just, you know, just not being mindful. So that's probably the first thing. And that TV with that social media and all that kind of stuff, that is probably the most damaging, I think, of everything. Because when you're doing that, you're not really thinking, and then you get more stressed because you're looking at whatever's going on.
Right.
I would say read a book, right, and stimulate your brain that way. Try to eat less and move more is always the key. So, and I think that's probably the only way you really kind of combat that extra pound is, because not, if you're just constantly sitting in one spot, because we sit more for sure.
Right.
You're not really moving in front of the screen. So you got to, you know, even eye watches, I think it is, that basically will give you like an alarm to kind of get moved.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah. So I think if you get one of these, or basically even time it yourself to say, you know, every 30 minutes, I'm going to get up and do some kind of stretching or some kind of activity, that movement will definitely help combat, you know, gain those extra pounds. Besides, you know, maybe change one thing. You know, I always say one thing is probably better than nothing. What's the one thing right, that's really holding you back? And just maybe change that. I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just saying eat less of it or cut it out completely. It's tie up to the individual. But whatever that is, just eat less of it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so smart, that idea of just kind of incremental growth. You know, we hear about things like, you know, 1%, do 1% better. Or something you said there, I think, was really smart. This idea of mindfulness. I don't think people sit down just with a bag of potato chips at the kitchen table and just stare at the bag of potato chips and eat the whole thing. It's they're watching TV. They're scrolling through their Facebook news feed. And just at the same time, that other hand's kind of feeding the chips into their mouth, right?
Just what happens.
And so it is this mindless act. And so your idea of just being mindful, I think that that's so important. It's so simple, right? But so important.
So one of the things that, I don't know if you ever heard of box breathing?
I have not. Educate me.
So box breathing is something we started doing for some of our clients too. So after they finish working out, whether it be virtual or in-house, we have them just lay down on the floor, and they basically take these nice deep breaths in for like 5 seconds.
Okay.
You try to hold it for 5 seconds.
Okay.
And then you blow it out for 5 seconds, and you pause for 5 seconds, and you do that 5 times. So that kind of brings your heart rate down, kind of calms you back down after you work out, but also allows you to be within yourself for that period of time. Right. It's almost like a yoga kind of thing, but it really
I was just thinking of Shavasana, right? At the end where you're absolutely. Like, okay, just get aware.
And yeah. Get aware. Up. Exactly. And people love it. They love that little time to themselves, and it's probably no more than what, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes that they're doing that.
Mm.
but they really enjoy that last part. I mean, it's almost like getting a stretch. We don't stretch people anymore because, you know, this thing, but that's like their mental stretch, if you want to call it that.
That's so cool. And it's interesting that you say it's only 2 or 3 minutes, because even when I can sometimes pause throughout the day, and whether I should actually get better at breathing exercises, but sometimes I'll try to be like, okay, I'm going to do a 5 or 10 minute meditation. It's not that much time, right? I think a lot of people feel that if I'm going to take care of myself, this is a huge investment of time or energy. Mm-hmm. But to your point, it's a couple minutes of breathing, or it's like literally walking around the block. You know, take that 5 minutes, walk around the block, and then get back to what you're doing. I almost like that idea of just setting an alarm. I mean, there's so many alarms on our phones these days. You might as well get one that's you know, notifying you of something important, right?
Right, like yourself.
Yeah, why don't you prioritize you for just a couple of minutes?
Just a couple minutes. That's all I ask, just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, and I think that's also, we're kind of joking about it, but I think, especially for example, with parents, and you know, I'm kind of fortunate that my son's not old enough to go to school yet, but I know lots of, and let's just say it, a lot of moms are doing double or triple duty because they're, you know, working and they're managing the house and they're now, you know, trying to help their kids go to school. And yeah, dads, we do a good job too, but moms have always kind of been the shoulders that a family rests on. But it's almost as if we're saying, even though there's more demands on you to help other people, it's going back to that cliche, which is so true. You got to put your oxygen mask on first before you put on somebody else's.
Right.
So taking that 5 minutes, go breathe, go walk around the house.
For sure. You know, one thing that's just happened that I did not expect is that we've had an influx in parents coming in with their kids as a group. And we shut the whole studio down just for the parents and the families. So it's basically almost like a family training time.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That's been an influx. We had like a good 2 or 3 people come in. A mother comes in with her daughters. The father comes in with his son, or vice versa. And that's been, yeah, it's been definitely different. We've never really had that happen. But I understand why. I understand why for sure. Because, you know, you're in the house, you want to get out. And, you know, you're gaining weight, you know, so everybody's gaining weight. So activity is the best thing to do it. And you get to bond some time besides just being in the house. So I understand why they're doing it for sure.
Well, and, you know, to your point, too, kids are just just as cooped up. Right. They need just as much, if not more, movement. It's even easier for them to eat poorly. It's, you know, I think.
Well, especially parents are right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just as challenging. And, you know, I think. I mean, I can only speak for myself, but there's definitely some times, you know, Liam's not eating like horrible food and quite yet, but there's definitely times where he just wants more raisins. And I'm like, you don't need more raisins, but you know what? I'm too tired to have more raisins. And I can imagine that spilling out into other families as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it's definitely a different time, and it's definitely a struggle, but I just think that if we just collectively move more and focus on taking care of ourselves, we can take care of the people that we care about as well. But always, you know, some people say, well, that sounds kind of selfish, but it's really not. I call it selfless, because if you can't do for someone else what you can't do for yourself, it's not going to happen as well. Then you become resentful. And that's another whole subject all by itself.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's so true. And it is kind of weird how, at least culturally, we do think that there's a selfishness to taking care of ourselves. But you're exactly right. If you don't have the capacity, you can't help somebody else, you know?
And right. You can't give what you don't have.
Yeah. In my Zumba teaching side of my life, which, yeah, I'm still teaching a little bit, you know, I get to do some Zoom classes here and there. But one of the things when I even first started going to classes, and it's kind of weird to think this is almost a decade now that I've been doing this, very strange. But, you know, it would be me as this single dude. And it was mostly moms in the class. It was, you know, we were at the Y, and that was kind of the audience. But in some ways, you know, in talking to them, and I've become friends with these people over the years, like, this is, in a very good and healthy way, it's like their time, right? They're like, hey, this is when I come and mom gets to just dance around and work out and get a sweat on and take care of her body and just have some fun with her friends. Right. And I don't think even back then I truly understood it, but now I just really respect that and go, hey, you go, you know, you take this time.
You do you.
You know, and I remember like sometimes like, you know, the kids would be out in the hall because they were done with their class. The mom's like, you can wait for me. I am not done.
Right. Yes.
I got to take care of me and in a good way. Right. Because just using Zumba as an example, you're happier at the end of that class than you are at the beginning. I mean, I've even had that experience.
For sure.
And right. I mean, Zumba is my jam, but whatever your physical exercise jam is, you feel better. And yeah, you're going to go interact in this case with your kid better. You're going to go, you know, be a better spouse. You're going to go be a better friend and family member. So I like what you're saying too, because I do feel that there's still this idea that exercise and taking care of yourself has to be this big deal and it's expensive. And if you don't have the $3,000 bike, you're not going to do it right. And, you know, there's all this selling of programs and equipment. Where it's really, for most people, just moving is a good start, right?
That's the excellent start. I mean, you know, when we first started doing the whole virtual training thing, most of our clients didn't have any equipment at all, right? They just had maybe a dumbbell here and a mat. And you'd be surprised how creative you can get with a few things around you, you know, and still stay active. And some of them even said, you know, move my body, lift my own body weight, is harder than what we did in the studio.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's more intense to move my own mass opposed to moving dumbbells, stuff like that, like doing, you know, push-ups or dips.
Right.
Or basically just doing some high knee stuff. Because, I mean, that's what Zumba is, right? I mean, just moving your body. And it says more intense to them doing it that way than actually in the studio lifting weights.
I mean, I can totally see that. I think we were talking about yoga before, and this has been a 15-year journey, but when I first started doing yoga, like I couldn't do a plank for any amount of time. And now I'm not going to say, you know, I'm ripped, but I can hold a plank for a minute or two and, you know, not fall apart. And that's just my body weight. Now, there might be a little beer belly weight there, but that's okay. You know, that's I got to give something to Liam to poke, you know.
well, Dave, you know, you're not too far away from what the Navy SEAL or Marines, their test for the plank is, I think, 3 minutes for passing.
Really?
3 minutes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. 3 minutes.
Look at me.
So just add another minute to that. Just add another minute to it. That's your goal.
Challenge accepted. I didn't know I was getting a personal training session here, but I'll take it. Challenge accepted. Oh, I don't want to ask how long you can hold a plank for.
It's not 3 minutes.
Really? Okay.
No.
All right.
No. I maybe can do maybe 2.5, something like that, because I'm not really a plank person. I do a lot of functional movement stuff. Like I do some kettlebell carries. You know, like what do you call the landmine stuff. So I do some stuff like that. But I'm not really like a crunch person. I don't do any crunches. I do more functional. And then as far as what I'm going to do in daily life, like carrying grocery bags for the wife or something like that. Right.
Well, hey, you know,
moving furniture.
And I think that's really smart. And in fact, I mean, that's always something that I really enjoyed. And kind of, besides the music that attracted me to Zumba was, you know, it wasn't like fancy movements or it wasn't like things you would never do. Like, in fact, I remember one of my instructors early on was like, hey, when you're teaching, put in functional movements, like whether it's a lunge or just a sidestep or something, it's like, hey, you're reaching for something. And I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, I'm not about to like try out for the Marines anytime soon, but I do want to be able to get around, you know, my life and not be winded and not get hurt, all that kind of stuff.
I call it fighting. Get down to your fighting weight.
There you go.
Your fighting weight. So that's that way you at least can run a certain distance without get too winded. And if you have to fight, you can fight for a few minutes without getting too exhausted, right? Just enough to get away. That's your fighting weight.
There you go. I'm gonna no comments on where I'm at right now. You know, although you know, there's a couple extra pounds here, but I've done a pretty good job because luckily my wife made me continue to keep moving, and every time that in a very positive way. We've got a good relationship around this. She doesn't nag me, but there's times where I'm like, hey, I'm eating a little unhealthily. You can make fun of me the next time I want to go get some chicken wings. And she's like, oh, okay, no problem. What she also did though is get me, this is my non-slick segue. She also introduced me to the delicious flavors of tequila. So I know you're not a huge beer drinker, but I do know that you enjoy some tequilas. So my question was, do you have a favorite, or are you kind of open to all of them?
I'm open to all except for the dark tequila. And I'm not really a fan of dark tequila. Like, I guess it's, what is it called? The mezcal.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's a whole different.
I'm not, I'm not really into that kind of tequila, but I like the Don Julio's and stuff like that. And there's a new company came out with some, and it almost has like some kind of vanilla kind of hint to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I can't think of the actual company name. They actually are very new, and they're basically doing what they call like a fundraiser kind of thing, or you know, a fund me.
Oh yeah, yeah, like investment. Or like Kickstarter or something.
Yeah, Kickstarter, something like that. So I got a bottle of it because it seemed like it was pretty interesting, and I made some margarita with it over the summer. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Now you're just, I mean, I'm enjoying the heck out of my beer, but now that margarita sounds good. Well, and it's also interesting. I just point this out that we're talking about physical fitness. Obviously, fitness is important to you. And you're also not saying, hey, I would never pick up a margarita. You got to still enjoy life a little bit, right?
I started doing this thing, you know, with my clients. So, For the clients that basically, especially for the ones who basically stuck around with during the tough times we had with the pandemic, I sent them this, I can't pronounce it because it's French, I think.
Okay.
But these chocolate truffles. Oh. So I sent them like four of those, and they have different stuff to them. Like one has like a turmeric or something like on it or something like that. But it's really fancy kind of truffle. And they're like, what are you trying to do? Set me up? I'm like, no, just a thank you. You can, that lets you know that I'm still human. Not like this mad, you know, trainer, like, you know, no sweets, no nothing.
That's great. You even said something along these lines earlier where you weren't saying, hey, you have to cut out all the bad food. It's like, maybe just dial it back a bit. Right.
Just dial it back. Something real simple. Because people hate to give up anything. I mean, I do too. I mean, I hate the idea of I have to give up something. But if I can just either cut back and still have it because I enjoy it, or add something that will prevent me from eating more of it, that's probably not going to benefit me, then that works well too. But to say stop it altogether and I really enjoy it, you know, people kind of, you know, they buck back against something like that. So I try to use that, you know, cut it out completely. That's bad advice.
right. One thing I found is, and this started years ago, where I would every month kind of give something up just for the month.
Right.
I had a friend who said, you can do anything for a month. And I took that to heart. I'm like, okay. And for example, I used to have I still have a pretty good sweet tooth, but I used to definitely indulge it a lot more. And so I would go, okay, I'm not going to have donuts for a month or candy for a month, whatever it is. And if you had just at this point in my life told me like, you can't have that at all forever, I'd be like, yeah, to your point, I'd fight against it. But it allowed me just to be like, okay, I can go until the 31st and then I can eat all I want. And what's interesting is I've done that over the years, and just every once in a while I'll take out different things. You kind of slowly kind of go down the steps, right?
Where
I'll still definitely enjoy some Swedish fish. Those little red fish used to be totally like kryptonite,
right?
But it took time. So I think that's a really smart way of approaching and going, hey, we're all human. Just minimize the damage you're doing.
Right. Yeah, for sure. You know, another thing too, Dave, that you know, I talked to this one lady. She was I think she was like a naturopath or something like that. She was in Western medicine initially. Mm-hmm. And then she, you know, one of the comments she made, she said, you know, you really want to think about, you know, what can you do and sustain for the longest period of time? What habits can you create that you can sustain for a long period of time? Because, you know, say you like paleo, and you plan on doing it for, say, the rest of your life, that works perfect because your body will adapt to that.
Right.
But if you're just doing paleo just for the quick fix of just, you know, losing weight of 10, 15 pounds, chances are you're going to go right back to where you started, if not more, because it hasn't been long enough for your body to make that adjustment.
Right. And if you don't like paleo, you're not going to stick with it.
Right. Exactly. You got it. You got it.
Yeah. I like that idea of sustainability. And I think sometimes, and this is well beyond even just physical fitness or mental health, or, you know, we can talk about business or all these things. It's not about that quick fix. It's going, I'd rather see somebody, and this is me speaking even like as a business coach, I'd rather see somebody make a small change that they can be sustainable with than a big change that's going to lapse. Right.
Right. Exactly. It's no different, you know, business, personal, weight loss, weight gain. It's all the same. It's just small changes for a longer period of time that you can live with for the rest of your life. That's what it comes down to.
And that sounds like some good wisdom for us to wrap up this conversation. So
cool.
I love it, man. I'm so glad we got a chance to have this talk. I always ask my guests at the end of the show, like, what's one tip that you'd give somebody today to help them have a better day today? If you had to give somebody a quick tip, what would it be?
I do mantras, man. I'm a big mantra person. You know, I have little mantras I do in the morning. Like, I have certain things I say to myself, not even out loud sometimes, just before my feet hit the ground, I got a few mantras that I say to myself to kind of get me ready for the day or focused. So mantras are very good, very good too. Or just, you know, taking that 5 minutes to just breathe, grab some water and breathe in the early in the morning. Cause that to me, it kind of dictates how your day is going to go. So where you start, almost the way you finish. So if you start off, you know, on the right track, you got a nice little mantra or something that keeps you in a positive frame of mind, chances are you can probably maintain that for the rest of the day. But if you start off on the wrong foot, chances are it's not going to go so well the rest of the day.
Love it. Love it. Thanks for sharing. Dietrich, if somebody wanted to find out more information about you and D21, what's the best way to continue the conversation with you?
www.d21.fit.
Okay. D21.fit. And we'll be sure, by the way, to put that link in the show notes. And I know you've got some great content that you're sharing on social media, YouTube, all those channels as well. So we'll make sure to put those in the show notes as well. And by the way, everybody, I do want to make sure that we say thank you to Brewer's Kitchen from Pilot Project Brewing. I've been drinking their India Pale Ale with Spanish tea. And I will tell you that I feel super fancy and refined. And it's also pretty delicious. So thank you to Brewer's Kitchen once again. I tell everybody, whether it's your local craft brewery, whether or not you're here in Chicago, if you are here in Chicago, check out Brewer's Kitchen. But no matter where you are, whether it's a craft brewery, a distillery, a vineyard, a cidery, or even a coffee roaster, if you're not into the alcohol, that's fine. Go find somebody doing something cool local. They are small businesses. They're going to need the help and support. So go out and support your local people. The other question I would ask, or the favor, I guess, is if you've enjoyed listening in, please share this podcast with somebody who you think would enjoy it. The best way for us to find out about new shows is from our friends, and I would really appreciate that. And until the next time, have a great day. Bye.
Thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. We all know the best way to find out about a new podcast is through our friends. So please help us out and share what we're doing through social media, or just tell someone. And if you could do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, like iTunes or Stitcher, that would be great. Want to get in on the conversation? Send DFish a message on Twitter at DFishRockstar. And we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business.